Welcome back to One Winning Pod, and 2024 league year is upon us. It's been a month since we last recorded, but a lot has happened. A lot of stuff has happened. And to start off, we'll talk about the biggest signing so far this free agency period. Technically, it was right before free agency, but Matabike came to terms with the team, 4 years, $98 million, with 75 guaranteed, 53 at signing, and they got out of that tax situation just in time for the new league year, and made life a little bit easier for EDC.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll say my part first, because I know that you guys had slightly different reactions to the signing, but I was ecstatic because I thought he was gone. I thought that this was going to be another case of a guy coming off a monster year, pricing himself out of Baltimore, getting that big free agent payday. We've seen that happen before with so many guys with the Ravens in past year, whether it be Ryan Jensen or Torrey Smith, or I guess Judon we did tag and then failed to bring to a deal after he had played one season on the tag. But yeah, it seemed to me like he could go out there and get even more money than what he got. And he certainly, you know, didn't get a small amount with what the Ravens gave him. But I'm ecstatic to have him back. I think you look at this, what I imagine the Ravens are doing is they're looking at building the defense around three players at each level. You know, Roquan Smith in the middle, Kyle Hamilton on the back end, and Justin Matabike up front. That's what the message seems to be to me with this signing. And I think it's brilliant. You know, is Justin Matabike going to come back and have that huge season that he did? I mean, there's probably going to be some regression, but still, you know, even if he regresses from an absolute monster season, you're still getting a very good player. So great move. I think the money is what you got to spend at that position. And hey, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I think my initial reaction was just definitely surprised at how soon he signed. I mean, looking back, and you know, the Ravens had a long period with Nada trying to get him under contract. I think that went back into training camp. And, you know, I mean, you look at some other ones in the past, like Suggs as well. It took a really long time to kind of get to his deal. So, you know, from if I was Matabike kind of going into it, I would have kind of expected it to go deep into training camp and sort of, you know, eventually, you know, they would have had the signing. But I think it paid off really well for him and for the Ravens to be able to sign him, because, I mean, a day after, Chris Jones also got re-signed by the Chiefs, and that deal looked pretty crazy. So, yeah, I feel like, you know, it wasn't too early, but it was early enough, I think, to be beneficial for both sides. And, yeah, I am definitely excited. You know, it's funny. I feel like between this guy and the next guy we're going to talk about, my other reaction is just that I feel like there was a lot of smoke during the season, like probably at the tail end when they were really talking about Matabike, you know, wanting to re-sign him. And it felt like once we saw a couple of those reports, I felt more confident that it was probably going to happen. And like I said, between this guy and the next guy, I feel like whoever's putting out those reports, I don't know if it's the Ravens, EDC or what, but like, it seems to be working out in these two cases. So
for sure. I thought the cool thing about Matabike is the deal immediately aged well, like you mentioned with the Chris Jones deal. And also it was important for both sides, I think, to get it done. It seemed pretty clear to me that Matabike likes being in this defense. He thinks it's a good fit for him. And he also is, like, you know, used to winning. So he wants to keep doing that. And obviously EDC thought that this guy is a cornerstone player. So they get the deal done. And it makes them cap compliant, so they don't have to worry about pulling any other levers, like converting the signing bonus for or converting the salary, I guess, of Lamar into like a bonus to, you know, fix his contract. And I thought it was really cool. It's like as the contract details came out for Matabike, there's some void years. And I love me some void years, because I really do feel like it's a way to stay with the NFL. I truly do think at this point, with most teams using void years, to not use them, you're kind of behind. And I think it's kind of cool. So I'll break it down for you real quick. Basically, the Ravens could get out of this contract after year three, and there would be a $19 million dead cap hit. But the reason it would be $19 million is because after that last year, unless they extend him, which I think they would be advantageous to do. They'll be at $8 million and a $3 million cap hit on the previous next 2 years. So there's $11 million in void years. And I think it's actually maybe a good way to structure a contract as well for the player. Gives them a little bit more leverage to get a re-signing. Or at least to have a lot of, you know, extra payday that next year, and then they get signed somewhere else. So they get double paid, right? So I think overall, I'm like pretty excited about the format of this contract. And I'm actually kind of pretty excited about the format of the next contract too. So I don't know if you guys had any thoughts on the format of the contract, but I know I'm like getting like really into leveraging debt. It's like my new favorite thing. I
mean, the only thing I was going to say is like, you know, two void years, not so bad, but if, you know, if it's a Chris Davis contract, then, you know, void years for 10, 15 or whatever, like, let's not have that. But otherwise, like, yeah, I mean, I think it could be advantageous for both sides.
Yeah, the Ravens aren't going to let any player sign that type of deal. The only deal you could maybe argue was that bad, and even then, I think there's a lot of argument against it being anywhere close to that deal, was Flacco's deal. But you were paying a guy who just came off a Super Bowl MVP quarterback. You got to pay quarterback a premium. So I think we could get into a really nuanced conversation on that one, because I'm sure I know for a fact lots of people have lots of opinions on that. The last thing I want to say with Matabike though, man, is it's going to be so exciting. Maybe it's this season or maybe two seasons from now. Matabike, he's still got a few more years left of his prime. Whatever that year is going to overlap with Matabike still in his prime and Travis Jones coming into his prime, that's going to be a monster for opposing offensive linemen to have to deal with there. With Travis Jones comes into his own and starts being able to game wreck like we've seen him be able to do in the preseason alongside Matabike, that is going to be one scary defensive line.
So Chris, why don't you lead us into the next segment? You already alluded to all the smoke, and it could be good.
Yeah. Well, the Ravens, you know, we're not quiet about wanting a running back. I think, you know, especially in this free agency period too, teams were signing running backs left and right. Tons of starters going to other teams, swapping teams, trades and stuff like that. But the Ravens got who they wanted all along, Derrick Henry. And for a 2-year, $60 million contract, couple incentives each year, $9 million guaranteed as well. And, you know, it's funny, I told this in the group chat, I think we were all kind of like a little worried, I think, at all of the running backs being signed and, you know, some of our guys, quote unquote, being picked. And, you know, eventually at some point I was just like, guys, like it's Henry's the guy. Like, it's just a matter of time. It's going to happen. And it's, you know, I feel like before, I don't want to speak for everybody here, but I think a good bit of people are probably on the fence, maybe schematically, of how he might fit in this offense. But now that he is here, and, you know, we've had a chance to, you know, have the presser and, you know, on the lounge and all that stuff, I think a lot of people are going to really, really like this guy, myself included.
I think it's a great move given what all the options were. In a perfect world, I would have loved to have Saquon Barkley here. I think he's got plenty more in the tank. I think he can still be a huge playmaker if he can stay healthy. But for a variety of reasons, that was never going to happen. You look at the contract that the Eagles gave him, and you look at the fact that I believe word has come out that he grew up an Eagles fan. You know, he gets to go stay in the NFC East and beat back up on the Giants, who I'm sure he's upset about, you know, for giving Danny Dimes all that money and not giving him the big contract, even though, again, that's today's NFL. But I'm sure he's still like, come on, man, I don't care that he's a quarterback. You giving him the money, you know, man, come on. But anyways, and then I think second to that, you know, again, going into free agency, I would have loved for Gus Edwards to come back. I've been outspoken with Gus about Gus Edwards being one of my all time favorite Ravens. I just think that even though, you know, he's gone in Baltimore, I think he's still got a great chance to do some more stuff with the Chargers. You know, every time the Gus looks like his career's done, he comes up and shows that he's still got more left in the tank. So, you know, what does give me a lot of intrigue about this signing, though, is like you were talking about, Chris, the smoke screens that turned out to be true, that the Ravens really did want this guy at the trade deadline and still pursued him into free agency. That does scream to me, I mean, Eric DaCosta, we know he's an incredible football mind. There's something there in Derrick Henry's skill set at age 30 that he sees and says, that's going to fit really well with Lamar Jackson. That's going to fit really well with what we're doing on offense. Do I exactly see it right now beyond just, you know, replacement guy for Gus's role in the offense last year? I'll admit it. No, but I'm very open-minded about this. You know, I talked about it in the chat when he was signed. There is not a great history for running backs over the age of 30. There are a couple who have had some pretty incredible seasons. Tiki Barber's last season in the NFL. Curtis Martin, I think, has the record for the most amount of yards in a season. After turning 30 years old, he was 31 that year. That was 2004. And, of course, Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram came here. His Pro Bowl season in 2019, where he just barely cleared the 1,000-yard mark, he was 30 years old. So, you know, I think that as long as his fans come into it with the expectation that, okay, he's not going to be the 2K-yard Henry, and we probably don't need him to be with what Lamar can do, you know, and just be open-minded to what – I mean, the coaching staff has to know what they're getting into, that he's, you know, older in his career, and there seems to be a plan. So, you know, I'm not sure yet what it's going to be, how much he's going to be part of the offense, but I'm open-minded to it. And I think that a lot of us who are more skeptical are going to be surprised, like you're saying, Chris. So, look, and even if it doesn't work out, that's a really good contract too. So it's not really hurting the Ravens terribly much in cap space either. So it's really a win-win.
Agreed. It was a very favorable contract for the Ravens and their cap situation. I do find it interesting. Like, he'd have to be really good this year, I think, for them to retain him at the $11 million cap hit it'll be next year. Unless, of course, you know, the cap goes up or, you know, they want to void it out or something. But the interesting thing, I think, about Henry, and everyone's talked about it, I can't wait to see it, this read option with Henry as the back instead of Gus, I think will be much more dangerous. Because you can't pick wrong. I feel like with Gus, you know, he's great at, you know, short yardage back and everything like that, very efficient. But I think there's just a next level breakaway speed factor and just once he gets going, good luck factor to Henry that will really make defensives nervous. and I'm nervous for him because, like, I think that could be really an incredible tandem. And also just the amount of beef that will be coming your way. Like, if they run to the right, let's mention Ben Cleveland there and Falele and then Ricard. I mean, that's just, you know, what is that? Like 1,100 pounds of beef coming at you? It's just absolutely absurd. And I think that might be a lot of fun. So I'm definitely optimistic. I think he also is sneaky good in the pass game. And that's just in general. Like, he can throw the ball. We've seen that before. And also as a receiver. And I just think it's really interesting how the running back market swayed after just 1 year. Suddenly, everybody wants a running back, and they're paying them decently. And the thing that's crazier still is you look at a guy, like you brought up Saquon Barkley, he got one of the best contracts. Well, you look at Darnell Mooney, and I'm not like trying to hate on Darnell Mooney, but like, come on, who would you rather have? They have basically identical contracts. I mean, I'd rather have Saquon Barkley in my offense. I mean, that guy can catch the ball too. He's so much more dynamic. I feel like the replacement level increase is so much higher. It just blows my mind that those two guys cost the same amount in today's NFL.
Yeah, definitely pretty wild. I mean, still not even, you know, there are lots of running backs are still on the market now that really haven't been signed, even some big names. And but yeah, it seemed like tons of contracts being given out, almost like candy. And
cap went up, man. Everyone was like, we got some money. We're flush with cash.
Yeah, I guess so. But last thing I wanted to say about Henry before we get to the next guy, though. I think I don't know how much to believe this right now, but I just kind of had an inkling when he was signed that the Ravens are probably going to double down on, like, having a rush first offense. It doesn't mean that Henry is going to have to be the guy, and, like, you know, the passing offense the last couple of years isn't going to be a forefront. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But I think, you know, last year I think one of the challenges with the offense, we were trying to figure out, like, okay, we've got Andrews, we've got Likely. Why don't we see more two tight end sets, for example? We're going to lean on these wide receivers. They did do that, and to some success. You know, I think Zay was pretty good. Bateman, Odell, maybe a little disappointing, right? We didn't produce as much as we wanted them to. I think now going into it, kind of seeing what Likely brings to the table, seeing what we still have in Andrews, and now adding Henry to the mix, and, you know, wanting to lean more on this sort of like read option, I feel like you're probably going to go to more of an offense of like, you're going to run these two tight end sets. Maybe you go to the eye more. You know, I feel like it wouldn't make that much sense to continue running out of 11 with a guy like Henry when you want to have like your two, you know, tight ends on the field. You want to get Ricard on the field. And, you know, knowing that, you know, all the receivers we had last year, not all of them are coming back. So I'm sure we'll get through more of it as the, you know, offseason progresses, but I would predict that the Ravens are going to run a lot more two tight end sets this year.
All right. Well, the next thing that actually was like first in the timeline, but maybe third. I'd say actually, I'd probably fourth, honestly, in the most interesting scale. But Nelson Aguilar is coming back, which I'm super stoked about. You know, you mentioned, Chris, we do have some attrition in our wide receiver room, but Nelson was exactly what you wanted him to be. You know, I was watching the Dynasty, and he was a big part of the Eagles win in the playoffs.
For those listening, I did an eye roll there.
Yeah, you know.
For those who don't have Apple TV, the Dynasty is essentially, well, let's put it this way. I haven't watched it. So
yeah, I don't know why you're talking. You didn't watch it.
I don't know. I don't. Maybe the listeners disagree with me, but I don't really want to subject myself to a 6-episode or whatever it is, you know, Patriots puff piece. That's just
it's not. It's actually like really damning of the Patriots. I can't believe they won so many games. It was so dysfunctional. Like, I don't know. I thought it was actually really interesting and it reminded me of a lot of things.
Then it's just like, oh, look, we were so dysfunctional and we still won. Ha ha. Look at us. You know, whatever. I'll shut up about it, but
I don't know. I enjoyed it, but you know, maybe Peter has too much too much hate for TB12 still to possibly subject himself to it. But anyways, you know, Nelson Aguilar, I really thought was a true professional, and you know, just thinking about like kind of like how they always try to set themselves up. I think they're trying to set themselves up with the wide receiver room such that like if they didn't draft one, it would be a really sad day, obviously, but this is a workable group regardless. So you don't feel like pressed. Oh my God, first pick, second pick, we have to go wide receiver. I think you could go third round. And obviously you could also pick in the fourth, but then you have to adjust your expectations. But really a good signing. I think a guy that can have a very similar role as last year. And also just like, I think he could take more of those OBJ snaps that Bateman doesn't take. Like if they split it, I'd be comfortable with that in today's like structure of the team.
I'm really glad we have Aguilar back. I hope that there is an additional wide receiver coming into this room, whether it be by, you know, a salary cap casualty that hasn't come yet, veteran guy, or through the draft. I think that Aguilar was great in his role last year. I question if he'll be as effective if he has to step up and do more. Granted, there were a couple times in the season that he did have to, but they were few and far between. It's hard to know if that, you know, was he really able to take on that role, or was it just the defenses weren't ready for it? Cause that wasn't, you know, the plan going in because those situations were due to injury, but everything you said is right. Yeah. If he had any complaints about his role last year, it never made the media. We've had that problem before in the past with vet guys coming in and they've had to maybe not do as much as they would in other offenses, that will pass more. Did he have a couple drops? Sure, but he had a lot of reliable plays, including a touchdown in the postseason. He had a big play against Kansas City in the AFC Championship game. He's a great role player. He was a great role player in this offense, and I could certainly see that continuing. So is it a big signing? Absolutely not, but certainly one that I think is really helpful for this team going forward.
Two tight end sets, man. I'm telling you. it's gonna be the strength of this roster. I mean, right now that's how they're building a free agency. We'll see with the draft. I think it, you know, there's a possibility of bringing a receiver. I feel like I wouldn't go receiver round one, round two. I'd try to get a late round guy to replace some of the other guys we lost. But yeah, I mean, I feel like your most explosive guys right now are in the tight end room, and you've got Zay. you know, Bateman, we were looking for that step up. Part of the problem was he just didn't have the snaps, didn't have the looks. You know, you don't have some of the other guys there. You know, he goes further up on the progression. You can see what he can do. And, you know, Aguilar, you can have come in, take those wide receiver two snaps, do a little bit with that. And I think we'll be fine. Like, I honestly think it's okay. I mean, we put a lot of money and a lot of hype, I think, on the receiving room last year. It did okay. You know, I mean, we got to the AFC Championship game, but I think, you know, looking at it too, we went away from the run game. We went away from what we wanted to do. You know, I feel like at some point, like, we want this offense to evolve, and I think it's going to. I think it still can, but I think by the same token, you know, don't lose who you are. And the Ravens are just not a, you know, spread them out wide and, you know, let's throw it, you know, 30, you know, 40 times a game or something. It's just not really who they are. It's not where their strength is. And I feel like with these signings, it's just reiterating that for me.
Yeah, I think it's something that they just shouldn't do that because it's probably not winning football, right? That's the big thing. There's few games where they should throw 30 plus times that they're comfortably winning the game, I think. Yeah, maybe it happens and that's fine, but I think the running game is so lethal, how they have it set up, and, you know, takes away clock, is effective, can still score points. But I think the big thing is you want to have some gotta have it moments in your back pocket where you feel confident in the wide receiver group to step up in those moments. I think Aguilar had a couple of those, like you guys said, and you know, would expect bigger things from Zay and Bateman going forward. And I'll say now, I've been dipping my toe into the draft, and I think the first three picks are going to be tackle, corner, wide receiver, and that'd be my guess on the order today. But I'll give you weights later on. Stay tuned. but like that's my
guess. Last thing I want to say on this topic before we move on, I think you guys are hitting on some big things. I go back and forth on whether or not I think that the Ravens should try and become more of a spread offense like the rest of the league is. But I think that the Chiefs really showed you the blueprint last year, and the 49ers as well, to an extent, even though they weren't able to pull out the Super Bowl win. Build around what you're successful at. I mean, the Chiefs, look, they basically got to the Super Bowl and won it by playing Ravens football, right? Balanced offensive attack, longer drives, don't turn the ball over, hard-nosed defense that isn't going to give up the big play. You know, I think that they showed that style of football still has a championship ability. So, you know, the Ravens obviously should try and improve the passing attack as much as they can every year. I think they've made some steps to do so, but at the end of the day, don't force what you're not good at, which I think is what you guys were saying. And that's what we're seeing is what they're doing in this offseason. So hopefully it works out for that Super Bowl, but that seems to be the path.
So one of the super interesting developments of this free agency period was the realization on both sides, I guess, for Stanley to rework his contract and just accept the fact that he was going to get cut next year. So it was basically like, when you look at this rework, it says, okay, we were going to cut you next year, and the dead cap hit was going to be, I think, $6 million. We're going to raise it to $8 million to help a little bit with this year's cap concerns. They dramatically reduced his contract. So this is the last year of his deal. Dramatically reduced his salary and then massively increased the incentives. So Stanley gets out of this deal the opportunity to make more money than he ever would have this year. And in return, accepting the fact he was never going to get, kept around next year on that contract. I could see the Ravens reworking his contract or extending him come, end of this year if he succeeds. And, you know, he cashes in, he gets all those benefits that they put in the contract. But the Ravens are giving themselves that optionality, and I think that's really great. I'm grateful that Stanley did it. I don't know if Roquan had anything to do with it on their little trip together, but I thought that it was really big of him to do that. He didn't have to, but I think that he also realized, like, if they cut me now, I'm not going to get the money back. Like, it was best for me to stick around, and this was the best you know, kind of option for my career. And also, frankly, makes it so that this major rework of the offensive line doesn't just become colossal. Replacing four positions year over year is a huge risk, because one of the big things about offensive line production is continuity. It's actually a thing that can be tracked. There's a guy that does it every year that like points out the continuity maintenance. And then if you look at that to O-line performance, they do track. So the Ravens are making a big bet by doing this big overhaul this year, in a year I think they're trying to compete, which has honestly led the flock, and I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts, has led the flock to be like, this is a misguided free agency. You know, you're adding Henry, you're excited about that. Like, it seems like they're trying to do something this year, but at the same time, taking massive risks on the offensive line that like could absolutely torpedo the year. I'm not too worried about it. I think that they'll work it out. I think with the draft picks and also the talent in-house, even with the talent in-house, I think the line could be average. And I think with some draft picks and a little bit of player development that isn't too like audacious to project, it could be excellent. So I'm here for it. I'm excited for this next chapter, and I'm glad that Stanley is in a way enabling it.
I think they're kind of forced into it. I believe that the moves that they did prior to this, to build the offensive line around a group of veterans in Stanley and Zeitler and Moses, around two young guys in obviously Linderbaum, and why am I blanking on the man who went to Denver? Ben Powers, right?
Yeah, Ben Powers.
Ben Powers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, you've got. We talked about Simpson. He was a good stopgap, but there were certainly too many penalties for him to stick around. And Moses and Zeitler, I mean Moses, he experienced his regression year at that age, and Zeitler, while overall he did have a good year, there were certainly signs that he was. His career is unfortunately hitting the back nine. Certainly some pass protections where a couple times he found himself flat on his back, had some difficulty with more athletic edge rushers, but also had some great games too. But I think that the Ravens are being proactive here, and they're kind of forced into it and looking at like, okay, yes, you're giving up continuity, but you're also risking, if you keep those guys, an offensive line that's going to have diminishing returns over the years. So it is a gamble. Yeah, I think you're right pointing that out, but it's one that there will probably be some growing pains the first half of the year. But if they can find the right combination of young guys through the draft and through in-house and find some plan to get Stanley back, I still believe in Stanley. I know that not every Ravens fan does, but I saw some glimpses at the end of last year, and I'll continue to say, specifically against that Houston game, where I think Stanley still has that fire. He still has that dog in him. If he can get healthy, which is the big if. It's a gamble, but I think it's one that, given the options that they have, is the best path to go down.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think we're probably going to continue talking about this, going into training camp, or obviously we have to figure out who's going to play left guard. I don't really think we have anybody kind of slotted in for that spot. But certainly looks like Cleveland Falele are probably going to be competing for right guard and right tackle respectively. For Moses, I don't mind that too much. I feel like Falele already swapped off a good bit. So, I feel like he's ready. Cleveland, I think you can kind of say the same thing, even though he didn't have as many snaps as Falele did. But I feel like he's ready as well. Bottom line though, going back to Stanley though, definitely want to reiterate what you said, Alec. Like, I mean, this is huge for him, I think, for to be able to do that, to take that, restructured deal. He really didn't have to do that. I think it was, it was really good of him to do that. I'm not sure how they sold it. I don't know if they said hey, if you do this, you could potentially make more money and we can bring in another guy and, go for a ring this year or something. Like, I don't know how they sold it, but, I hope the Ravens did right by him, and it's definitely appreciated. He did right by the team too. So I think that tells a lot, I think, for his character, despite all the injuries and despite, all the fans and, everyone, complaining about his play over the last couple of years and him being injured and everything, like still took one for the team. Like, he's a good guy.
Good guy, Ronnie.
Good guy, Ronnie. No doubt. Well, last bit of free agency news as far as our acquisitions is Josh Johnson is still here. So him and Lee Cunningham will compete for the backup quarterback spot. I find this absolutely fascinating, by the way, because Tyler Huntley was acquired for the vet minimum as well. So it's pretty damning of Huntley, frankly, that they were like, we're moving on at that price. But maybe Huntley wanted to get out. You know, he's like, Lamar's here. That Watson guy's no good. I saw it for myself. You know, maybe I'll get a chance to start because he hasn't had the best reliability. I don't know. They also have a bazillion quarterbacks over there. So fascinating thing the Browns are doing. But Josh Johnson, welcome to the team. Looking forward to cutting you come roster cutdown day to bring you back. Just like, I mean, we know that's going to happen. He's going to get cut.
Yeah, man, I think Huntley was just like, man, I've been on the sideline. Well, and actually going face to face too with Watson in that game in Cleveland in 22. He's like, man, this man ain't it. This man ain't it. This is a much better shot at me getting a starting opportunity than if I stay here. So
yeah,
I mean, not a bad career move for him. I mean, look, Watson has, you know, taking legal things aside, even taking performance aside, first off, the man's had a ton of injuries in the 2 years he's been back. So, you know, it's not a bad roll of the dice at all to go there and see if that's somewhere that can jumpstart your career. And DTR also certainly didn't show any sticking terribly much his rookie year either. So,
yeah. And then they got Jameis there now, too, just for fun.
Yeah.
That's wild. Alec, it's funny you mentioned, you know, cutting Johnson, bringing him back. We missed another name, Brent Urban as well.
Oh, shoot. So yeah,
he's going to be, he's going to be the other guy, handshake deal.
Yeah, no doubt. Good catch there. Urban's also back, and he will also get cut. But he'll be back. He'll be here all year. Oh, man. What a guy. Well, I guess with that, we're going to go to our farewells. Lots of names here. Unbelievable amount of names. I don't know the best way to do this. I might just say them all and where they went, and then we can react to it like that. Sound good?
That sounds like the best path.
All right. And this is, I mean, it was updated as of like 7 o'clock today. All right. We're recording right now. It's 8:12. Okay. So if we missed anything, I'm sorry. Gus Edwards, good luck at the Chargers. Ronald Darby, he went to the Jags. John Simpson and Morgan Moses both went to the Jets. Morgan Moses, it was a trade where we moved up 22 picks in the fourth and gained a six. Patrick Queen, Steelers. Geno Stone, Bengals. Tyler Huntley, Browns, I could care less. Deshaun Phillips to the Texans. Devin Duvernay to the Jaguars. And the late breaking one is Kevin Zeitler to the Lions.
A lot of names. You know, I think of all those. I'll say this. I don't think any of those losses hurt enough to really impact the win-loss column next year, mainly because you look at the guys that did go. Edwards, obviously we talked about Henry. Queen, you've got an in-house replacement. Is his ceiling as high? I'm not sure. But you have an in-house replacement. You could say the same with Stone and Washington. Obviously, it hurts to see all these guys go. I mean, all these guys performed, adequately to very good during their careers as Ravens. But none of these guys, I think you look at and you're just like, scrambling to replace them because of the plans already laid in place. Now, of course, Zeitler, like we talked about, that is the big gamble, right? Is failing to re-sign Zeitler too much of a gamble with this offensive line? Time will tell with that one, but the rest of them, it's obviously, painful to see these guys go. But I think they're all moves that the Ravens will be able to recover from for this upcoming season.
Yeah. I feel like of these, Moses was a little bit of a surprise, but honestly, once the trade happened, I was like, well, again, Falele has been taking almost half the snaps anyway. So, to be able to get anything from the Jets, I think is a good move anyway. Especially in a draft now where, even Eric DaCosta talked about it and that, you know, it's a retooling year. Like last year, we were a little lean on picks. This year, we got more. So I think that's helpful. And, you know, Darby, I feel like, is the only guy that, you know, he was starting for us this year. Will he start next year if Stevens and Marlowe are healthy? Maybe not, but still, like, he felt like a guy that really contributed and was kind of a surprise signing for us. So would have been nice to keep him. But, you know, I could also see, like, the Jags were just throwing money to everybody. So, you know, maybe they just wouldn't want to compete with that. I don't know. The Queen signing, though, man, that, like, that just hurts personally.
I'm ticked off about it, too. I mean, the good side is, like, maybe the rivalry will be a little bit spicier this year. Also, like, low-key, they're having a great offseason. I think the Steelers getting Russell Wilson for $0, essentially, and then parlaying Pickett into Fields and 2 7s, like, at worst, right? I think is a tremendous move for them. But the problem is they have to figure out who Fields is this year because it's the end of his rookie contract. So I think they need to, you know, I think they need to play him. Like, I think they bamboozled Russ. I know that they already have, like, leaked out to the press that Russ is still their guy. And, like, yeah, let's see what it is, you know, come week three.
Sure.
Yeah. Come week three, let me see.
I mean, it could be, but, I mean, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. If the Steelers are, like, this, you know, bastion of a team that, you know, is of stability and everything, like, that's a gamble. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, you know, it could work out. Like, I could see a scenario which it does, but, like, you know, you're bringing in two new quarterbacks and who weren't that particularly good in the first place. And then you ship off like Deontay Johnson and, you know, all that stuff. Like, you know, even adding Queen, right? Like, Queen's a good player. Like, don't get me wrong, but, like, you know, those Steelers for a while were trying to find the mic. They couldn't find it. Like, I don't know if is Queen really the guy either. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yes, we'll find out.
And without Roquan, we'll see. Yeah. And I will say, I mean, the quarterback situation is really interesting. You got yourself a vet in Russ, who's obviously had a lot of success. Didn't do well in Denver, but was that more him? Was that more Denver? Was it a combination of both? I mean, you know, Denver is such a dysfunction. I don't know if, you know, even put Patrick Mahomes there, if he would have been successful. But, you know, I do also still think that Russ was part of the problem, but I also think that that was an incredibly, you know, such a dysfunctional situation. And then Fields is interesting, too. What's interesting is, you know, obviously electrifying as a runner, one of the best rushing quarterbacks in the league, maybe the second best rushing quarterback in the league outside of Lamar. But still a big question as a passer, like we're saying. I mean, if you actually look back at Mitchell Trubisky's statistics in his first three seasons in Chicago, across the board, his passing statistics are better than Fields in every category. But also at the same time, you could argue Mitchell Trubisky had a better supporting cast and a better offensive line than Fields had in Chicago. So, I mean, he hasn't really been in a situation that's prime for him to succeed, right? So you got two quarterbacks coming in who arguably have underperformed expectations but have shown promise in the past couple seasons. And now you're putting them in this situation in Pittsburgh where you've got good playmakers. Offensive play calling is a bit of a question mark still. So, yeah, I mean, you know, but it's probably enough to get the Steelers back at the seventh seed, right? Because it's definitely better than what they had, and what they had still almost made the postseason. The Steelers don't need great quarterback play to make the playoffs, you know? So
they made the postseason, man. I mean,
did they make it last year?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Oh, you're right. They did. Well, they were unmemorable in the postseason last year. So
I mean, we were on break. We were on break that week. So yeah.
That's right. Was it Buffalo?
Yeah, Buffalo.
It was Buffalo. Yeah. Oh, that's right. The game that the snow nearly buried. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, kind of going back though to the free agents, I think you made a good point where none of these losses are, you know, oh my goodness, I got to scramble to fill these holes. And I think that is an intentional pivot. I do think DaCosta might be pivoting to what we talked about a long time ago with Fasili. Like, I really do think they're looking at securing more cornerstone contracts. They're focused on cornerstone contracts because, they're going to sign Hamilton, right? They're going to work their butts off to make that happen. And they're going to trust themselves to go in the bargain basement and find the next Ronald Darby, find the next John Simpson, you know, find the next Morgan Moses. I mean, he was a really, like, savvy signing too. And they're just going to work their butts off to find all these guys all these role players, Zeitler, they're gonna focus on that, and that's their bread and butter, and they're gonna have these cornerstone players. They're gonna bet on themselves to be able to do it, like, rather than like raise their baseline by I don't know by spending more dollars, they're gonna raise it. They're gonna like bet that they can do it with less dollars, and then keep more cornerstone guys who are the guys I feel like in the playoffs make the plays, right? Like, why did Chris Jones get a contract? It's because when he needed to make plays in the playoffs, he did. Why is Hamilton going to get a contract? Because when he needed to make plays in the playoffs, he did, right? Like, it's all about these guys who really rise to the occasion and, you know, are big players. I think you might see that from Flowers, frankly, right? Like, if he continues to improve, I think he'll learn from what happened in this postseason. He could be an electrifying player that they decide, okay, we're going to, like, you know, extend. But I think that's what they're focusing on. So none of these guys going is too surprising. I will say, though, I think no one's talking about it. I am extremely curious what they're going to do at safety. Like, Geno Stone played so many snaps and enabled Kyle Hamilton to be in the box. They need to find a safety they're confident in. And I don't know if it's going to happen in the draft. I think they could get a guy that eventually they feel good about, but I don't know if it'll be this year. And I'm still thinking there's a lot of safeties still around. That seems like the next, you know, shoe to drop. There's going to be a safety signed somewhere. And then also they'll bring up Worley, because of course, and then he'll get cut too. So yeah, I think that's kind of where we're at.
I mean, it might be our Darius Washington, you know?
Yeah.
But I do understand what you're saying, you know?
It could be. I don't know. He seems right. A little small.
Well, that's the thing. It's like he could be, but do you feel confident enough going into the season and saying, like, oh, it's Washington or bust? And I agree with you completely that no, the answer is no. You want to find something else there to someone else to compete there. So, yeah, I think that's an excellent point that you bring up there.
Geno, the Bengals, though, I think, you know, talking about that, like, as well, like, I mean, what a great fit for him. Yeah. You know, I mean, they had Bates, who was a great player for them for a couple of years, ended up going to the Falcons, and, you know, their safety spot kind of looked a little bit different, but, you know, having him play free and then, you know, have Hill on the other side playing strong, like, that's a really good signing for them, I think.
Yeah.
What's crazy to me, and I'm trying to rack my brain, and I really wish I'd had a chance to deep dive this before the pod. I can think of plenty of instances where Cleveland picked up, you know, ex-Ravens, of course, you know, Jamal Lewis, Dave Zastadil, Trent Dilfer, Darnell Dinkins, Paul Kruger, the list goes on, Gary Baxter. But the Bengals and the Steelers, obviously Hayden Hurst a couple of seasons ago, but how many former Ravens have bolted to the Steelers or the Bengals? I can't think of terribly many off the top of my head.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think this year, the amount of AFC North poaching was incredible.
Yeah, Harrison's the only one I can think of from the Steelers. Well, I guess we traded Wormley, but
yeah,
doesn't really count.
Yeah, we initiated it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, particularly the Steelers, man. Like, that's just, man. Queen, can't believe you did that, man.
I mean, I will say, though, in Queen's defense, I mean, it's quite clear that, you know, from his post, and I think from the way he carried himself, he loved his brothers in Baltimore, you know, his teammates, he loved the fans. But I think when they made the trade for Roquan, I think that sent a message to him, and he just looked at the business side of it and was just like, I think he had a target there. And now he gets a shot at revenge. I completely see that from a human side, yeah. Being Patrick McQueen's mindset there.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, there's a couple guys still lingering in free agency, some of which might come back to the Ravens. J.K. Dobbins is still out there. Arthur Mullett, Jadeveon Clowney, Kyle Van Noy, Odell Beckham Jr., and Tyus Bowser. And I think the one that everyone's talking about, and I agree, I think Clowney's the one they want to bring back. If they're going to, you know, make cap space and like have cap space around and use it on a guy that's making big plays and is a disruptor, you go get Clowney. So I think that's going to happen. I think Mullett could also happen, but I don't think it'll be a high priority or he'll get like crazy amount of pay. It might be a similar situation to how we got him this year. And yeah, I mean, Odell's definitely gone at this point. He had his goodbye post, and also just the way it all is structured, it didn't make sense. And then Tyus, like, I don't even know if he's going to have a career. Like, legitimately, I'm like, is he going to get signed anywhere? So we'll see.
Yeah, man. The Tyus Bowser one is just so strange and so unfortunate at the same time. It's crazy. The guy finally won me over. Finally won me over. Because I remember we had ended one of our 2020 recap episodes, you guys both lifted Bowser as a guy who, like, you know, had broken out. And I remember saying I needed to see more. And then finally, after 2021, when he had that big year, I was like, okay, Bowser's here. He's for real. Then he tears his Achilles in that final game of the season against Pittsburgh when we were already, well, we weren't eliminated, I guess, if we had won that game and multiple things happened, we wouldn't. But still, it turned out to be a meaningless game. And, you know, came back the next season late and made a couple plays, but mostly looked like he was still coming back from an injury. Had this angry knee this year. I mean, just, man. Such a shame for a guy who, you know, was a second round pick, took a while to come around, and then showed heavy upside, and then now, man, yeah, you're right. I don't know who takes a shot at him. I don't know.
I mean, surely someone would want him at camp. I mean, maybe even we'd want him at camp, right? Like, unless it's like the bridge is completely burned. But, like, I don't know. He seems too good to not give a chance at camp. So surely somebody's going to sign him. But yeah, no one's trying to, you know, wreck any compensatory picks or rush out to go get Tyus Bowser. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Might be the same for J.K. Dobbins, frankly. Which, I mean, I don't know who showed so much promise and also had so much injury, right? Like, I feel like J.K. has to be signed somewhere, but I don't think he's going to come back to the Ravens. Not because of the bad blood that everyone's talking about. Like, I don't know if that's been floated somewhere that there's bad blood. Obviously, you know, the preseason situation happened, but like now that there's Henry, I don't think he'll want to be here because it's like, okay, they're gonna like have Henry and Keaton, like, what am I gonna see touches, like, how's that work? I think he'd be a great addition, frankly, because he's a little bit of a tweener in between the two, and, you know, injuries happen. But yeah, I don't know, I guess we'll see with JK. I wish him all the best though, because, like, yeah, I cut him today in our contract league. Like, didn't love that. Literally signed him with an extension and then tears his Achilles 7 days later. Big sad. Big sad for both fronts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I really think it wouldn't be a dumb move at all for his career to come back, you know, on a one-year prove-it deal. But I think you bring up a great question. You know, does he want to? Look, I mean, they're still going to want to have Justice Hill, I think, be the third down back, passing down back under 2 minutes. So he's got his role. Derrick Henry's going to be the starter. The question is, I think, really just how many carries are you getting him per game? What's his snap percentage going to be rather than the starting? And so there's a slot there for Dobbins to have some early season work and show that he's still got it while Keaton rehabs. I'm still of the opinion, without having looked at what his medical, you know, what he's looking at right now, I don't think we're seeing Keaton to start the season. I think he's going to come a little later. Yeah. So there's a shot there, you know, to get some carries, but does he view that as a big enough of an opportunity? And does he want to come here, you know? But if no one else has given him anything, then he might come back after that. But yeah, I would love to have him back. I would love to have him back, but I don't know if he wants to be back, you know? So he's a guy to do what he views as best for his career, which is unfortunately on the ropes right now, just with all these injuries. So we'll see.
Yeah, certainly. The only thing I wanted to add, just out of these names, just want to reiterate. Yeah, Clowney, for me, I feel like, is the guy, you know, the guy to take. Even going into the season right now, I mean, we're looking at, we have Owe and Ojabo and
Robinson.
I guess that's it. Robinson. You probably want to have a vet guy in there. Even now, if Clowney doesn't want to sign until, you know, training camp or whatever, you know, that's probably fine. But yeah, I feel like he's the guy definitely to target. Kyle Van Noy feels like, I don't know, he feels like a guy where, like, he could probably be available later. Like, even though he had a good season and everything, like, he, you know, wasn't signed by anybody before. So I don't know if we're in a rush to get him. But Clowney, you know, I think he's, you know, I think there was reports he visited the Panthers as well. So he's a guy that's a proven commodity that people want. So yeah, if we can get him signed, I feel like that's one key. And then, you know, we'll see what we supplement with draft picks and everything. But I feel like that group needs a vet.
I think Clowney might sign a little sooner this year, but I don't expect him to see him at OTAs. I think he'll have an agreement. You know, like, I'm going to sign earlier just so I have my business in order and everyone knows where I'm, you know, everyone can be happy. But at the same time, like, I'm not trying to do all that. Van Noy, yeah. I think, absolutely does not want to sign right now. I think he might be like, you know, send a voicemail to all the calls. He's just chilling right now. He's like, I'll come off the couch again. I got this. So, all right. We already kind of talked about the Steelers moves. Anything else we wanted to talk about with them as we go into the AFC North?
I thought that moving on from Deontay Johnson was interesting. I mean, you know, Johnson, a guy that I think has a lot of talent, but outside of that 1 year with Ben, has he really lived up to it? You know, questionable. But still an interesting move for them to give up on him. Arguably they needed an additional cornerback, but that was interesting. I think we saw that it's not done yet, if it'll be done. But I think that someone posted in one of our chats a rumor that Steelers are looking into signing Mike Williams, I believe, if I saw that right.
Yeah, he's coming for a visit.
Yeah, so that would be interesting. But yeah, I don't know. I was surprised by that move. I don't know if that one surprised you guys, but I didn't see that one coming.
There was a little bit of smoke that could be the case, that a trade could happen. I was more surprised by the nature of it. You know, player for player trade is pretty rare these days, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
But it happened. So very interesting. I guess we'll see how that corner shapes out for them. And yeah, I mean, I kind of with you, Peter, like, I remember once upon a time, Deontay Johnson was like, you know, a huge commodity in Dynasty. He was like this next, you know, next guy or whatever. And I just like never was completely sold that he was that great. And now he's kind of like, you know, we'll see. But I think, you know, good on the Panthers to like go get a guy for Bryce. Like, I think they're working towards fixing that offense a little bit and give him a better environment to like, you know, maybe succeed. You know, they really like screwed him over. And frankly, they really screwed themselves over so much just in general by giving up so much draft capital. You know, it's gonna be hard for them to assemble a good team now. So, you know, good luck. Like, I don't know how I would feel to be the quarterback drafted by the team that gives it, you know, all the crown jewels to get me. Cause I feel like it's like, thanks, but no thanks. Like, you know, be more responsible. Yeah. How are we going to build this anyways? You know? So anyways.
Yeah. Well, I guess moving on to the Bengals. Yeah. We talked about Geno Stone going over there. You know, T. Higgins was tagged, but reportedly he wants out. So no news on that yet, but, Tyler Boyd. That's what we hear. The single emoji.
The Bengals are definitely letting that happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen, but I'm just saying that's what he wants.
Come on, Cincy. Give the man what he wants. We'll give you back Sala.
Dude, Sala.
Actually, we need Sala this year. Never mind.
No, I'll give you Sala. It's fine. I'll raise you a Tylan Wallace. I think he's a decent player.
Wait, we need him to replace Duvernay. We didn't talk about Duvernay, did we?
It was rattled off, but we didn't really go into it. But yeah, you're right. Like, that's going to be a position that's open, and Tylan Wallace might be the number one there.
Definitely going to draft a guy to compete for that. 100%.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah, I imagine so.
Going back to the Bengals, though, I feel like the interesting move for me was them picking up Zach Moss and deciding, you know, hey, we're done with Mixon. We're going to ship you off to Houston. It's a move, I think. I mean, Moss had a good season last year. I mean, he certainly played well against us. I feel like between that and Mixon, like, you know what you have in Mixon, but I guess they wanted to get younger.
Nah, they want to get Chase Brown, man. That's what I think. Like, it screams to me, it's Chase Brown season. Like, our little darling that could in the draft process is going to get his shot.
He had some flashes late in the season last year.
He's fast. He's a good player.
My dynasty team will be very happy if that happens.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's what that's a big signal. I was surprised, though, to get rid of Mixon. You know, there's been some bad blood there for a little bit. There's always been some consternation. I don't think Zach Moss is an upgrade. I think all it is like, we're moving on. I guess he had some kind of cap hit that would happen. I don't know. But I'm excited to see what they're going to do with Chase. And then they lost Tyler Boyd, who might go to the Steelers. Because, of course, every wide receiver might go to the Steelers, it seems.
is trying to fix that passing game any way they can. Washed up Super Bowl MVP quarterback. All right, bring him in. Washed up rookie draft pick who can run a ton. Bring him in. You know, I'm surprised they didn't get Huntley.
Yeah, right. That's pretty good. Yeah.
Wouldn't have had to give up any draft capital, I guess.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I don't know. I still think Russ could work out for them. One of our chats had said that, like, I feel like Russ is the closest thing to, like, prime Roethlisberger that the Steelers have had since Ben retired. So, I mean, he's got a lot of improvisational skills, at least in Seattle. Didn't really show it in Denver, but there's a world where it could work out. I really hope it doesn't, but, you know, I could see it. I see the logic.
The range of outcomes for both of those quarterbacks is incredibly insane, to the point of, like, both of them could end up working out really well, to both of them could just be completely wash out as well. It's like any path is possible.
Well, I guess they thought that at least they have more outcomes than Pickett.
Yeah. I'm still stunned by that pick. Like, they didn't have to. Everyone, it was so choreographed. It was about as choreographed as us going and getting Henry this year, that they were going to pick Pickett at 20. And, like, I feel like they were betting against themselves, so to speak, or, you know, bidding against themselves in that market. I think, you know, next quarterback taken was Malik in the third round. I think they could have got him in the second easy, you know, like, and then it doesn't hurt as bad. So they really got themselves. Last, the Browns replaced comeback player of the year, Joe Flacco, with James Winston and Tyler Huntley. And then they traded for Jerry Jeudy, a second year in a row that they go grab the guy who had a lot of, you know, pizzazz and maybe even, you know, some production. They did it last year with Elijah Moore, right? Yeah. And then they went ahead and got Jeudy, who was one of the guys that, you know, Lamar wanted, right? It was him or Hollywood. So, And frankly, like, Jeudy looked incredible in college, okay? Like, and he showed glimpses before his injury. He actually looked like he was about to break out in that game where he got injured. And then he got injured, and then it never has quite been the same. So who knows, you know, if that hurt him more than they let on. But, you know, change of scenery for Jeudy. Best of luck to him. Like, frankly, I would love to see him, like, not suck just as a player. Like, I feel like it has to be so hard to have all those expectations of being good, and then, like, you know, things happen. Right, injuries and all that kind of stuff. So just from a personal level, like, I hope he, like, looks a little bit better. Just don't beat us.
I mean, man, yeah, I want every player to work out, man. I mean, they all come into the league with hype, you know. They're in the league because they did really well in college, you know, with rare exception of maybe someone was just like, oh man, well, their athletics are off the chart, they sucked at college football, but maybe the athletics will all work in the NFL.
Translate.
But yeah, which, you know, obviously very rarely has that happened. But yeah, man, you know, I always want all the players to do well, and I just want ours to do even better.
That's right. So let's move out of the circle of AFC North. We'll talk about some other AFC teams. Kansas City, mentioned at the top, that Chris Jones also got the bag. But then I just love the story behind this. I text the boys in our super secret channel. I say, guys, I got a tip that Hollywood Brown is going to the KC. And they're like, where did you hear this? And I was like, well, we bought a mattress and the salesman told us. And then immediately Peter was like, this is bogus. He just wanted to sell a mattress. I was like, no, the deal was done. All right. We were like organizing shipping. Like, it was already like happening. And he was just like, oh, did you hear that Ravens news? Because the day we got Henry. And and anyways, lo and behold, 2 days later, he's going to KC. And, you know, he was right. So, allegedly, a couple Ravens have gone through that exact same mattress store, and he has befriended them. So, he had the deets, man. He had the deets.
He did have them. He did.
It's a good signing for them.
It's a great signing.
God, that's frustrating. Yeah. It seemed like, you know, they had to scrape by enough receivers to be able to get a couple catches in the postseason. Still won the Super Bowl, and then they get an upgrade there. Like, my God. Yeah. Man, that's a good one. The Chris Jones contract, though, I definitely think is interesting. It feels like that's a lot of money for him, especially for a guy that I think people were wondering if he was going to retire. you know, I don't want to bet against KC because, man, they've won two in a row and like they're going to be the favorites for year three. But that contract to me like has a potential to really blow things up for them, I think. Probably not the first year, but like year two, year three, like depending on how, you know, Chris is going to play later in his career, like I think it could be the beginning of the end for them, but I don't want to really bet against them this year.
Yeah, they're really betting on some cap inflation. These are monstrous numbers. I mean, borderline quarterback. I mean, it is the tier of like that middle quarterback contract. That's how much he's getting paid. That's insane. They also have with a I think because they're going to have to re-sign. I know he's like has a 10-year deal, but it's never going to stand. Like they're going to have to re-sign Mahomes too. So yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, but this is the team that finally figured out how to bring Taylor Swift and the NFL together. So like,
that's why
they're banking. Dude, they know
the team.
That's how the cap's going up. Taylor Swift bump. That's why the caps are going to go up.
I was going to say the team hasn't done anything. The team. The only thing a team's done now is piss off the fan base and say that they're going to move the other side of Kansas City.
You know, that's right.
Owner.
Yeah.
That's what the owner's done. Taylor Swift had nothing to do with the team.
You sure no one in the front office, you know, picked out, earmarked a couple of the single guys and were just like, look, if you can bring Taylor Swift in, you know what this is going to do to your future contract possibilities.
Yeah. Well, Joe Flacco went to Indianapolis backing up Anthony Richardson, which is, you know, of course, exactly the, you know, scheme fit guy. I guess they were also like, well, we had Gardner Minshew. Flacco's kind of close. That works. So, all right. There you go. And then the most interesting, I think there's two really interesting things. But the Chargers, man, are literally just a little Ravens, okay? They go ahead and get Jim Harbaugh. They go ahead and hire Ortiz. And what does Ortiz do? He brings in all the old Ravens, all right? You get the band back together. Gus Bus goes over there. Hayden Hurst goes over there. Bozeman signed today, all right? And he's getting rid of players that he doesn't want. He didn't re-sign Eckler. He went to the Commanders. And then he cut Williams and traded Keenan Allen for a fourth round pick. All right. So he's cleaning the books, these big contracts. I mean, it is a total revamp over there, man. And I tell you, man, the amount of like Harbaugh guys, right, that are going over and just Ravens guys with Ortiz, I tell you, it's wild. Like they're clearly, I think, going to be a problem for the Ravens, frankly, going forward. I think they're going to like a lot of the same players in the draft. Right, like Ortiz is a huge part of the culture here as far as like how picks were made and who they evaluated highly. So just another team to keep an eye out for. Them and the Jets are the two teams where I'm like, they might get our guys.
Ravens West and Ravens North.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they already made the trade obviously with Moses and Zion Simpson. So And they do have like this pipeline of like reject offensive linemen that just go to the Jets. Like it's incredible. So anyways, yeah, I think and maybe even OBJ goes to the Jets, right? Like, 'cause that was always rumored. So there you go. another guy moving over there.
Yeah, Chargers, man. We're going to see. I mean, I guess now I knew when Jim was signed, like Greg Roman had to have been the guy, even though like it's a terrible, terrible fit with that roster. But now knowing that Keenan and Williams are gone, so, and Eckler are all gone, so like, okay, well now your offense is literally just you know, the quarterback now. So you know, I guess it's not so bad. You know, if you got Gus over there, probably running back one, running back two, they'll probably draft a tight end or there. You know, gosh, it's going to be like 2018 Ravens on that offense, like all over again. Their defense is probably going to be good, though. I mean, I think I want to say out of all the guys that they could have cut for cap saving, I think they kept them all, right?
Yeah,
Mac, and it was the one guy that particularly that they were talking about, but they're probably going to keep them all. Of like, you know, depending, I don't remember who they I don't remember who they brought on for like defensive coordinator, but like it had to have been better than the head coach from last year. It's a good roster. If they got the right coach, like that's good defense and they had a run game to that, like they'll be a good team.
Yeah, certainly interesting. We'll see if it works for them. it seems odd to do a rush first offense around Justin Herbert. But I mean, at the same time, you know, airing it out as much as they have with the defense that they had wasn't really working out with them for, you know, even getting to the playoffs. So maybe that is what the Chargers need. We'll see. Jim obviously had a good bit of success with San Francisco before things went south there, and had success with Michigan, and now he's got another crack at the NFL. So we'll see.
Minter's the guy. Jesse Minter. He was the guy after McDonald left, everyone was like, oh, yeah, he's going to come back to the Ravens. No, Jim sniped him. Yeah. So
yeah,
they're going to have a good defense.
The other thing I'll say, too, with is Giroux did take a year off, okay? He said he was going to look at the NFL and try to learn about the pass concepts. And, you know, he's probably a pretty smart football mind. He might have learned something, right? Like, you know, it's so hard to sit down and actually do what he was able to do in a year off, like a true year off, and, like, actually have time to try to, like, learn new things and learn new concepts. I think he could not suck, you know? Like, and also, like, you know, I thought it was definitely overdue to change, you know, things up for him. But like I said, like, you know, he did some good things and, you know, there's a possibility of some growth there. You could teach an old, you know, old dog new tricks sometimes. And we'll see. But Houston, man, Houston was already a good team. And they are committed to being a contender. And in fact, the mattress guy has them making the Super Bowl. So, fun fact. He had them and the Lions, which I think would be a fun Super Bowl, even though it's not with the Ravens. But if I had to pick like an alternative Super Bowl, I'd be very down for that. Two franchises that could absolutely use a Super Bowl victory. But anyways, Houston goes ahead and signs Danielle Hunter. They also went and picked from divisional rival Tennessee, Danico Autry and Azeez Ashaire. And then also got Tommy Townsend from Kansas City. Traded for Mixon, as we mentioned earlier. Delshawn Phillips in there to compete for linebacker as well. You know, kept the other players as well. So I think a team on the ascendancy, even if their threads are taking a step back.
Oh, yeah. Those uniform leaks, man. I mean, the uniforms themselves look fine, but that number font.
Oh, man. God. It got awful. Yeah. I hope it's wrong.
gosh, man. I mean, and Nico Collins and Tank Dell are so nice, man. And they got to wear those uniforms with those numberings. Oh, man. Travesty to the game of football. But, yeah, I mean, Houston, look, I stand by what I said when we played them. Like, I didn't think they were ready this year. I think they'd certainly overperformed. I mean, gosh, we, you know, making the playoffs with D'Amico Ryans, rookie head coach, and CJ Stroud, rookie quarterback. But, yeah, D'Amico Ryans, he's got a plan there. That man has made the Texans scary, and they're a legitimate contender for the Super Bowl this year. I see no reason why. So their offseason is setting them up great.
So, you know, we didn't have the people that left Houston, but I was just looking it up. I know Singletary left for the Giants. You know, he was pretty good for them, and they actually lost a couple of different people. So Greenard, who was one of their defensive linemen, he left for the Vikings. So it's actually kind of like trading Hunter for him. Mm-hmm. And Blake Cashman, if you guys recall, linebacker, also ended up going to the Vikings as well. So and apparently their punter also went to the Steelers, which is why they picked up Townsend.
Wow, there it is.
But yeah, anyway, I mean, you know, I think there's some good moves, but they did have to, replace some of those holes for players that left for other places. So, you know, we'll see what happens. They draft well again. Like, you know, I think it could still be a good team.
Daily, man, these teams that come on the other side of the deals where they get a bunch of picks, the Lions, Houston, we're talking about them as good teams now. What a shock. Maybe when teams come with the bag of picks, like if you're even a semi-competent front office, you should take it and run because it's a good way to build a football team. Anything else, guys?
I think that's it. I mean, man, it's been a crazy free agency period. Quite a bit has happened, particularly in the AFC North. But it's definitely was an exciting week, and we'll see what other moves the Ravens make to round out this roster.
For sure. Well, we'll be back to talk about the draft and maybe if anything else happens major for the Ravens. And you can find us on Twitter at OneWinningPod, emails onewinningpod@gmail.com. Like I said, it's draft season, so we'll start looking at some prospects and figuring out who we want to target and when. Go Ravens.